All right, rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. This is J.C. Hall filling in for Chris Ann Hall, who is on her way back from St. Louis today. If any of you saw her little Instagram clip, you saw her in St. Louis allegedly going to eat the greatest pizza in America, on the planet, whatever. So, Nemo's Pizza, yeah, it's good stuff. Good pizza. I heard about a good coffee shop in St. Louis. It's called Molon Latte. Have to check again where exactly that thing's at, but try to find Molon Latte at on Facebook. I know they're on Facebook. And anyway, good stuff. Veteran-owned coffee shop. We'll have more info on that so you can check it out if you're in the Missouri area or ever make your way there. So J.C. Hall again, filling in for Chris Ann Hall. Yes, we share the last name. There's a reason for that. I haven't been on the show co-hosting in quite some time. So hello to everybody. Hello to the longtime listeners. I'll try to get back in the studio more in the coming days. But we are living in historic times. This has been interesting. So I don't know if people maybe, I don't know if everybody grasped the historic, right, the level of history-making events that are going on right now with the overturning of Roe v. Wade. So you're talking whatever 40-some-odd years that thing's been happening. By the way, I don't know that, well, I don't know what the liberals even are aware of. They seem kind of misinformed. But, you know, the whole Roe and Casey thing, I mean, this is like recent, very recent. And I know there's this phenomenon with some of the younger folks, like everything, you know, nothing happened unless it happened 2 days ago. So people are unaware that the whole abortion thing is really a new phenomenon as far as, you know, the decision of Roe and whatnot in our system of jurisprudence for 150 years or more. That was not a thing. And so Roe just came about very recently and has been done away with pretty quickly if you think about it. So if you consider the length of time that some of these cases influence things and linger and remain, this one wasn't with us for very long. Now it wreaked incalculable human death because of it, but hasn't been with us very long. And now it's gone. And the Supreme Court has gotten out of the way, has decided to stop attempting to obstruct the states in exercising their constitutional sovereignty. And so the Supreme Court has corrected itself. Now, the right of the state, the power of the state, the authority of the state to make the decision on the question of abortion was never taken, really. It was surrendered. The states could have continued to stand, but they didn't. So this moves an obstacle out of the way. I thought it was interesting. And again, I think we have the best governor in Florida. We have the best governor in America. No question. Governor Ron DeSantis, the greatest governor in America, period. Hands down, end of discussion. But I thought it was interesting. He said, or at least the headline reported that he said, now that Roe has been overturned, that he would look into strengthening the laws again, you know, supporting life, protecting life. So So even a governor as bold as Ron DeSantis, as good as Ron DeSantis is, he still allowed that unconstitutional exercise of authority by the Supreme Court to curtail his action. So, you know, it's just the way of it. Federal supremacy has saturated the minds of so many, even so-called conservatives, and judicial supremacy in particular is a very strong thing. So after how people are taught about the 14th Amendment and they look at the court as a body of ruling kings, really ruling a ruling oligarchy that have the final say on everything. And you know, there's a lot of people bowing to that. But you know, it's an interesting thing. Now you have the left would criticize us when we talked about state authority and the states defending the Constitution. When a body like the Supreme Court steps outside the constitutional boundaries, you know, we would say the states need to ignore that and defend the Constitution. And the left would attack, and we're lawless, and we're undermining the foundations of democracy, they would say. Well, now that the Supreme Court has got itself in line with the Constitution, the left is saying we need to resist the court. Now, they always take a little bit farther. They're dropping N-bombs about Clarence Thomas. They are threatening to murder him, using the word lynch. They attempted to kill Kavanaugh. So our notion when we talk about state sovereignty and the state standing, in the gap for the people, sheriff standing in the gap, we're not talking about murdering people. We're talking about not complying with unconstitutional dictates. So the left's resistance has a much, much different look to it. So to equate these things, that's a mistake. They're not the same thing. So when we talk about nullification, we talk about interposition, we're talking about our representatives refusing to implement or not complying with a given law. We're not talking about going out and murdering those that we disagree with. This is the language of the leftist revolutionaries. Now, for those, I know we have a whole broad spectrum of folks and views that listen in this show. We don't assume everybody agrees with every point here. So I know there are a couple of people been listening for a long time, and you're not pro-life. And this one phrase you keep hearing is these ladies saying control of their body. I should have control of my body. Ladies and gentlemen, a baby is not a body part. So I'm pretty sure I should have asked Christian to dig this up. You could probably Google on the internet a list of human body parts, right? The parts of the human body. And I'm 100% certain, and you guys can search it yourself. If Christian finds a list, we can go through it if you like, but I'm 100% certain baby would not be on that list. Neither would fetus, right? Because they like to say, well, it's not a baby, it's a fetus. I promise you, fetus will not be on the list of human body parts either. That is not your body, ma'am. Nobody is demanding that you do or don't do anything with your body. After this overruling, after SCOTUS has overruled, in their words, this case, no one's lost your bodily autonomy. You still have your bodily autonomy. What we are fighting for is the bodily autonomy of that other body that's not your body, the baby. So a baby is not a body part. Did you put that on the screen? So, you know, there's no fetus listed on there as a body part, right? No baby listed on there as a body part. I need to control my own body. So if that's a reference to the child, then they're saying the child is their own body. Does that mean they see a child as a slave? You own the child? I mean, because they don't want to be parents, right? Because if you kill the child, you're not a parent. Because a parent, like a parent, right? You're Christian, you're still at home with your parents, right? We didn't get you on the mic. You're on the mic today? He's not on the mic today. But Christian is still on at home with parents. But I don't think Erica and Tommy would say they own you in that sense, right? As a parent, so as a child, before you're the arbitrary legal age of 18, you know, when you're legally sovereign, when you can legally contract, you're considered an adult. But until then, your parents have guardianship over you, and they make those legal decisions. But I don't know. It's a weird sort of thing. And because again, these people are not even saying they want to be parents. That's the whole point. They don't want to be parents. So then how can you say that child is your body? Like you own that little body to dispose of. And so then if you own a body, right? Because they're saying my body. Well, the only body that this law is talking about is the child's body, not the woman's body. And so it has to be a reference. It could only reasonably be a reference. Now, I'm not saying these people are reasonable or logical. They're not. But the point is that baby's not a body part. It's not your body, dear lady. And here's a crazy thing. I don't know how this is missed from the conversation, but I had this revelation. This deep insight came to me. I'm going to share it with you now because it's just earth shattering in the context of this conversation. And here it is. The cause of pregnancy is known. No, really. I mean, that's an earth shattering revelation, but we know what causes pregnancy. So it's an easy formula. If you don't want a baby, then you don't do that which causes a baby, right? Therefore, you don't have to kill what you caused, and everybody's happy. So if you don't want to have a baby, that's fine. We don't want you to kill a baby. Okay, then don't make a baby, and everybody's happy. It's not too difficult. Now, I know, you know, I believe on some level that everybody has a conscience, right? Everybody's born with a semblance of a conscience. God gave you a conscience. So everybody has some semblance of a conscience, but that conscience is affected by what you take in. So you can sear your conscience, you can deaden your conscience, you can destroy your own conscience. But it's interesting. It seems to me I see the evidence of just a slight tingling of a conscience in these people, because they always like to shift the argument. They run to the outliers and say, oh, rape and incest. They always like to choose the outlying incidents and center the debate on that. That kind of implies to me, maybe I'm just inferring this, but it seems to say to me there is still some little bothersome troubling of the conscience, just ever so slightly at the atomic level in the conscience of these people. Otherwise, why would you not just full throat defend it like many of these Looney Tunes you see on the D.C. Capitol steps or the steps of the Supreme Court? Why not just defend it? I saw the picture of the one lady, pregnant lady, that said, not human yet. I mean, just go ahead and defend it. We know we want to kill this baby. We want the right to kill this baby. Some are very, some are open and clear, who no longer have a conscience. You know, when they will just openly talk about killing the baby up to the last day of pregnancy, you know, giving birth and then killing the baby on the table, which is mind-boggling. But that's where we've come to. And really most of the folks defend that fit in that category. It's just some are more honest than others. Now, I do believe there's a segment that simply that's what we've been taught. They've been miseducated. They've been influenced by public school, by media, by Disney, by movies, by news and all these idiots on the screen. Like, for instance, Ana Navarro Cardenas on The View, who said, I posted this on my Instagram at JC Hall Global. And Ana Navarro from the View said, well, you know, I know many families are not prepared to deal with a child with special needs. And so she basically advocated for putting to death children who have autism and Down syndrome. And disgustingly, she gave her 57-year-old brother as an example, essentially saying that, you know, her brother had been such a burden on the family. She knows what it takes. She knows how hard it is. And there's no question that raising a child and dealing with a family member who has special needs can be challenging and difficult and it's hard and that sort of thing. But notice the default for these people with no conscience and no moral center, the default is kill that person, not go look for resources, go find help, build a network of support, you know, do whatever it takes, make that sacrifice, you know, to help that person because every life is precious, right? That's not their default worldview. Their default worldview is, oh, this guy's going to be difficult. We just need to go ahead and kill him. If it's too hard for you, kill him. That's their default worldview. That's what makes these leftists immoral, bottom line. And so we see the virtue signaling morality that they make up, the new morality. And just for some homework, if you're interested, you may not be. I'm kind of into philosophy a little bit and you know, studied some of that stuff in school, but I found a writing, a really posthumously put together writing from Nietzsche called Will to Power. It's very interesting. Nietzsche, this, you know, acclaimed atheist philosopher, and he, in the Will to Power, he basically says, you know, the morality of the world has been built on the Christian worldview. It's a Christian morality, right? This is this atheist philosopher saying the morality of the world has been essentially, at least in Europe and the United States, which basically the areas he was looking at. So he said this has been a Christian morality in the Western world. Now, in his view, he says, you know, we'll come to a day when people recognize there is no God. I would say you come to the day where people reject that there is a God. But he says once that happens, right, when you cast aside Christian morality, when you cast aside any attachment to the divine, he says this, the intrinsic value of humans will be lost, right? He says we have viewed life as having intrinsic value because of the Christian moral. When that goes away, essentially saying when we discard the divine, there is no creator, there's no divine creator, there is no God. When we discard the divine, he says, then with that goes the intrinsic value of human life. So crazy. And here's what he says. Then we're going to have to have a group of elite men develop a new morality. Now, the contradiction that obviously, if there's no intrinsic value to human life, what in the world is an elite? What is an elite person? There can be no elite men. There's no intrinsic value. There's no value in life. How do you have different valuations of individuals, the elite men? So you got to create, but he basically says we're going to have to create a new morality. Well, you see, the new morality is wokeism, which is no morality at all. It's not surprising to me. Look at the tenor of the protest. Watch these ladies in D.C. They're having a twerking contest. You have people running around naked and look like fruitcakes. Okay, they look crazy. It's a total clown show. Just the freakiest looking people. So it's just a fringe mind, a total casting aside of morality that has brought you to the point where you revel in extinguishing human life, right? The same people that complain and wring their hands about kids being shot in the school then are in the streets. By the way, notice you didn't have droves and droves of people in the streets blocking the highway in LA and screaming at the top of their lungs like raving lunatics after the school shooting in Texas, right? But set that aside. They're complaining about this, the kids being killed, and the same people are saying we want to be able to all the way 9 months day after the child's born, then put that child down. That's fine. And we're going to resist government. We're going to burn down D.C. We're going to kill Clarence Thomas, kill Kavanaugh, kill conservatives, on and on. That's what they're advocating, that they can't kill their own child. So the new morality apparently is a stranger, right? A person cannot kill someone else's child with a gun, but you can enlist a so-called doctor to take some scissors and cut the spinal cord of your own child to kill them, or take a vacuum and shove the vacuum through the skull of the child to suck their brains out. I'm sorry, kids, we need to put a warning on this show title when we post it there, Christian. Oh, it's okay to do that. Suck the brains out of a child with a vacuum. That's the new morality. That is okay if you do that to your own child. It's not okay to shoot somebody else's child, apparently, is the new morality maybe that Nietzsche envisioned. Because the end of that thing with Nietzsche, if you want to look into the will to power, where does the will to power come from? He said basically with all that removed, there's no moral guardrails. And if there's no intrinsic value of human life, right? Liberty is based on the intrinsic value of human life. Then there's no restraint. There's no liberty restraint. He said then mankind just operates according to will to power. In other words, whatever you are able to do by force, then that's what you can do. That's what's permissible. What is permissible is essentially what you can carry out. Survival of the fittest, right? Whoever's the strongest survive. So that's what you devolve into. By the way, that look around. That's why Nietzsche's will to power strikes me, because I look around and see this is essentially where the secular world is. We look around us. This is where we are. You look at Uvalde. Guns did not get us to that place. Godlessness, immorality, a lack of moral grounding. That's what got us there. The fact that you have, here's a kid stuck in public school, and you can look at all the elements of that, morality being removed. And what morality? The morality of the intrinsic value of human life, which, by the way, has to flow from a creator, because intrinsic value has to be connected to perfection, right? We have to flow from that which is perfect or that which is created to have intrinsic value. So you can't have liberty without a creator, by the way. So it's a moral mess with that crowd. Now, the good news for us, we're winning. This is another win. This is another win for those people who have a moral grounding in a respect for the intrinsic value of human life, right? Which gives rise to the principles of liberty, which gives rise to abolition, anti-slavery. We don't support slavery because we believe in the intrinsic value of human life. We don't support murder because we believe in the intrinsic value of human life. Therefore, people are to be respected. People are to be protected. People are not to be assaulted, killed, murdered, raped, robbed, because there is intrinsic value to human life. What the leftist revolutionary teaches is life doesn't matter. Life from conception onward doesn't matter. It's will to power, right? They operate according to Nietzsche's will to power. That's how they're operating, because they say they get to decide which life is valuable, which life is not, right? You had, I mean, even in the times of the Democrat slaveholders and Democrat KKK, so when the Democrat had slaves, they were saying, we decide white life has intrinsic value. If you're brown skinned, you don't have intrinsic value. So remember when the Democrats did that thing, did the slavery thing and the KKK thing. So same viewpoint. They get to decide. Now it's flipped, right? They did their thing and, you know, decided if Democrats couldn't own slaves, then the next best thing was to get all the brown people in their party and have them voting to keep them in power. So we remember when they did that. So now it's flipped, and they teach this kind of morality. So it's no longer, oh, we've decided the brown people don't have intrinsic value. Now they flipped it and decided that the white, and they make it very specific, because white conservatives have no intrinsic value. If you're a ruling class elite, now the useful idiots, you know, the other useful idiots out there, it's always pasty white leftists at the BLM rallies and that sort of thing. So it's a weird, you know, it's racist. I mean, again, racism, what is that? Based in the rejection of the intrinsic value of human life. So, I mean, that's the Democrats. That's the left. That's just lefty revolutionaries. This is who they are, sum total. So now look what AOC says. AOC sees this. Now it's a threat. It's a threat to their power base. What's happening is a threat to their hold on power. It's a threat to their whole anti-life worldview. Oh my goodness, they don't get to murder babies. This might break up their hold on other groups of people. This might break up their plantation, their mental slavery and political slavery plantation that they were able to implement after the Democrats lost their physical plantations. So this is a threat to them. So AOC now sees this threat even with her own party. She says Democrats who are pro-life, well, we shouldn't allow them to hold office any longer. And notice this, it's always that, right? Here we go again, the will to power. They get to decide. So she decides they don't agree with the orthodoxy of the anti-life death cult. And so they should not be allowed. We're going to say who can run, who can serve, who can't serve. Now, it's interesting to me, any Democrats who are still left in that party who support life, like, why would you be in that party? Why would you follow these people? Because when push comes to shove, if there's any variance from the orthodoxy of the death cult, then they will target you. So we see that over and over again. They play their racial politics. So they have gotten, I think, 94% of the African-American vote consistently for many years. Now that changed with Trump, and they started to lose all of these people to Trump, all of the minority, so-called minority votes to Trump. And so then they turned on them, right? Because they were in their group, then they were leaving. They were disloyal to the orthodoxy of the death cult. So then they had to be targeted. So then you hear Uncle Tom, you're a coon, you're a race traitor, et cetera, all these vile racists. The racism always comes out, by the way, whenever they're squeezed. You see these white lefties dropping the N-bomb against Clarence Thomas, talking about lynching him. You see that against some, I forget who it was, I saw on Twitter. As a trans woman, I give permission for everybody to use the N-word, she says. So when you squeeze these lefties, their racism always comes out. It comes to the top. If people would have listened to Malcolm X as he described how these folks operate, you would know what's going on. But now it's being revealed. It's being revealed. And you guys know we were not Trump sycophants on this show. I'm not a Trump sycophant. But it's fascinating, once again, if you look back, the debates, Chris Wallace, between, I think it's 2016, between Trump and Hillary Clinton, and Trump says, we're going to put 2 to 3 pro-life justices on the court, overturn Roe v. Wade. It's happening. And what was the thing of, the characteristic of Trump's administration was to expose the left for who they really are. Well, it's continuing. He's no longer in office, and it's still happening. The results of him putting those folks there, at least on this issue, came to the right decision. And you still see the effect of him exposing. So he's not even in office, and his decisions are squeezing these guys, and they're exposing themselves as racists and lunatics out in the streets. Then you have Antifa, our friends Antifa, once again. Not all of these protests will be about abortion. Our friends Antifa, members of the Revolutionary Anarchist Movement, there's a whole history of that, by the way. Revolutionary Anarchist Movement, they took the label of anti-fascist. They are actually fascist. They just look for an excuse to destroy, burn and pillage. They may be pro-abortion, but that's really not the number one driving issue of why they showed up in the streets. They see an opportunity once again to rob jewelry stores and burn buildings and assault police officers and just wreak havoc and weaken the nation. That's their goal. Just weaken America to the point it collapses. So some of what we see of these folks in the streets is going to be that. The others, it's fascinating seeing states like New York and California. You see people in the streets of L.A. Carrying on like idiots. And more than likely, nothing's going to change in their state. But they hear the media. This is the thing the media does. They hear the mainstream media saying abortion's been outlawed and all this sort of stuff. That's not what happened. It is now in the states to decide. So California has been given basically free rein to, hey, be a sovereign state like you are and make those decisions. And I understand there are a lot of patriots and good people in California. But sometimes the people that put them in office, and of course the patriots didn't put people like Gavin Newsom and these other idiots in office. They're just woefully outnumbered. But sometimes these leftist lunatics have to feel the consequences of their choices. And so, unfortunately, California may have to suffer some more before some significant change comes about, or else the state splits up in secessionist parts. Who knows? But historic times. And, there are folks that are saying this is a watershed moment where that all the devices of the leftist revolutionaries that were started, 1900s, 20s and 30s, has basically had its day, and the arc of that socialist revolutionary movement is on a downhill slide, is crashing and burning. And I don't know that that's not wrong. I mean, we see we see, so, I mean, you know, you see them turning the thumbscrews in different areas. But so much of this stuff is backfiring. So much of this stuff is whipping up resistance. And we've seen certain pieces put into place where things are being done, things are being decided, and they're being squeezed and pushed. And I don't think their message and their reaction is a message that wins over, that continues to win over the minds of Americans. When you see people threatening to lynch the Supreme Court justice, trying to murder a Supreme Court justice, robbing stores, burning down shops, in the streets, attacking police officers, you know, all this sort of stuff. I don't know that that is a winning strategy, a strategy to win the hearts and the minds of the people. And I'll add to that the mass exodus from public education, because to me, that was the only stronghold. So the Democrats and the revolutionary leftists, they don't have a winning message, in my opinion, without the education system having control of the minds of people. And so many kids are being taken out of that, and so many people are fleeing that, that they're losing that stronghold. Now you're beginning to see these strong reactions against their media. I mean, the news, that's already failed. But you see the reaction against the media stronghold, the stuff that Disney is doing. You know, there's so many people that your average person that doesn't care. It's not anti-LGBT. It doesn't care. They're just like, you do your thing. Just leave me alone. But they react strongly when you just start to cram that into their face at every single thing, every single place where it's not even necessary. You turn a Buzz Lightyear cartoon into an LGBTQ XYZ sermon, then people don't like that. I just don't think they have a winning message in the long run. And, you know, now when you consider that they think they're on a sinking ship, then the rats are going to scurry and, you know, you can get bitten by some rats. So there could be a time of troubles as their ship continues to sink. And, you know, so keep yourself safe out there. Keep your situational awareness about you, because I think, you know, I think when they realize how many losses they're continuing to rack up, particularly when we get to the midterm elections and the electoral slaughter takes place, because there's another thing. Some people have made inroads into ensuring election integrity. Not every place, there are still problems. But I would say because of the problems that were exposed, I think we're in a better position in some places than we were before. So I think that in conjunction with some of these other things is going to be, the Democrats are going to crash and burn in the midterms. And so it concerns me a little bit. I think we're winning, they're losing, they're racking up losses. But at the same time, it concerns me about their reaction. And so I want people to keep yourself safe, prepare yourself to be safe, train to be safe. And, you know, as we move into and through the midterm elections and post-midterm elections, I mean, you've seen this Jane's Revenge domestic terrorist pro-abortion group firebombing churches, attacking a congressional office and pregnancy centers, and promising, quote, increasingly intensifying attacks. So they've promised this. So as they continue to lose and lose big, here's another one. What was his name? Joe Kennedy, the coach, just won a case in the Supreme Court saying that he has the right to pray on the football field at schools. He won that case. So they're going to see this as another loss. And so be careful about the reaction of these immoral loons out there, and keep yourself safe, prepare yourself to be safe, equip yourself to be safe, train yourself to be safe. I'm about to leave here right now and go equip myself with a new means of being safe right now. I'm very excited about that. I'm going to go just a few miles down the road and get a new piece of equipment. That's very exciting. That's happening today in just the next 30 minutes. So, baby is not a body part. You want control of your own body? Go for it. Control your own body. But we're going to protect that innocent body and keep you from killing it. It's not yours. It's its own body. Leave it alone. Don't kill babies. Kill bad guys. This is JC. I'm out. See you.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights.
We have a power!
And we've raised a spoiled brat representative government that needs to be taken to the woodshed. Are you satisfied with a government that owns you? There are churches who refuse to allow us to use their facilities to teach.
Unspoken or even sometimes spoken rule that religion and politics don't mix. You wouldn't dare speak out against the government or somehow resist.